We got received aid from India, neighboring India, and also a couple of other countries.
Much of Sri Lanka is underwater as aid arrives. It's Monday, May 29th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us online at VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, not everyone is ready to travel the new Silk Road. A U.S. college graduate sparks debate. We meet a Vietnam veteran on Memorial Day. Veterans grow a rare spice, new glasses for the blind. Stay with us and see what's next on VOA Asia. Sri Lanka has appealed to the United Nations and the international community for help as it struggles with the floods and mudslides that have killed more than 120 people. Officials say about another 100 people are missing. Authorities say 60,000 people in 14 of the country's 25 districts have been affected by the floods and landslides. Some estimates say more than 100,000 are displaced. Evacuation centers are set up for the displaced, and a spokesman from the Sri Lanka Red Cross said Sunday that the Indian military is helping in rescue operations.
We received aid from India, neighboring India, and also a couple of other countries are sending in their relief efforts as well right now. Mainly we got the Indian military involved here in rescue operations, and that is happening. And organizations like the Red Cross is also making appeals to other various organizations out there, partner organizations around the world, to make sure that they also come and assist us and to provide the best relief and care for the people affected.
Rescuers took advantage of improving weather and receding floodwaters to reach thousands of people in need of basic supplies. The floods and landslides have become common during the monsoon season on the tropical Indian Ocean island. North Korea state media says leader Kim Jong-un has supervised the test of a new anti-aircraft weapon system and ordered its mass production and deployment through the country. The North state-run television showed video of Kim watching military drills with his aides believed to be the top officials in the country's rapidly accelerating missile program. The exact nature of the weapon or the time of the test was not reported, but state media said it was organized by the Academy of National Defense Science, a blacklisted agency believed to be developing missiles and nuclear weapons. The North has been pushing to develop a wide range of weapon systems since early last year at an unprecedented pace, including a long-range missile capable of striking the mainland United States. About 500 people marched through Hong Kong Sunday during an annual rally commemorating the crushing of China's 1989 pro-democracy movement in Tiananmen Square. The demonstrators, like Lung Kwok-hung, a pan-democratic legislator, renewed their calls for the Chinese authorities to revise the official Communist Party's verdict that the democracy movement was anti-state.
Youngsters in Hong Kong are not even born at that time. So it's a duty for those people who knows about the massacre to make the younger generation to understand what happened in 1989.
Next Sunday will mark the 28th anniversary of the crackdown, when the People's Liberation Army shot and killed an unknown number of students and residents who had occupied Tiananmen Square for weeks, with estimates ranging from hundreds to thousands. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on VOAnews.com. Philippines pounds militants as civilians found shot dead. India controlled Kashmir under strict curfew to quell protests. Sri Lankans rush to help victims of floods and mudslides. Free supermarket to highlight Australia's multi-billion dollar food waste. Foreign firms seek a fair shot at China's new Silk Road projects. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia and on our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. China recently rolled out a global economic initiative known as the One Belt, One Road, named after the ancient Silk Road trade route that connected China with Central Asia and other parts of the world. Chinese President Xi Jinping says the One Belt, One Road initiative is aimed at promoting international cooperation. VOA correspondent Natalie Liu tells us former U.S. officials and some business executives are concerned that China is not really keeping its doors as open as it claims.
China's plan is to build ports, rail lines, roads, and other kinds of infrastructure across Asia, Africa, and Europe. At a recent summit in Beijing, President Xi described the global initiative as a win-win for the countries and companies involved in the massive undertaking. But some question China's true intentions. Former United States Trade Representative Charlene Barshefsky.
China that has stopped the process of economic reform and opening, and that instead has put in place a spate of measures that are zero-sum, they're highly mercantilist, and discriminate against U.S. and foreign companies.
Because of its current business climate, China is no longer considered a top investment destination for an increasing number of foreign companies. This was the finding of a recent survey by the American Chamber of Commerce in China. William Zarit is head of the trade group.
Some companies are looking back to North America where especially energy costs are much lower. Perhaps labor is not that great a factor in their manufacturing product. And rule of law and transparency are the name of the game.
Some point out that China no longer depends on foreign capital and technology as it once did, and so is less concerned about companies pulling out. But some analysts say shrinking investment due to Beijing's heavy-handed policies might still cost China. International economist Ted Moran of the Peterson Institute.
China is already such a huge presence on the world economic stage. So I'm not predicting any kind of disaster. I just think that there will be much slower growth and much less robust growth over the next decade.
While Chinese President Xi touted the idea of inclusiveness at the One Belt, One Road summit, some American companies remain concerned that it may be more style than substance. Natalie Liu, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, the United States is sending a third aircraft carrier strike force to the Western Pacific region in an apparent warning to North Korea to deter its ballistic missile and nuclear programs. The USS Nimitz, one of the world's largest warships, will join two other U.S. supercarriers in the Western Pacific. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The social media reverberations continue a week after the commencement speech of Yang Shuping, a graduating senior from China at the University of Maryland.
As I stepped off the plane from China and left the terminal at Dulles Airport, I was ready to put on one of my five face masks. But when I took my first breath of American air, I put my mask away. The air was so sweet and fresh and utterly luxurious. I was surprised by this. I grew up in a city in China where I had to wear a face mask every time I went outside. Otherwise, I might get sick. However, the moment I inhaled and exhaled outside the airport, I felt free.
Ms. Yang, a theater and psychology major from the southern city of Kunming, said while in the United States, she could openly discuss racism, sexism, and politics in ways that she had never before dreamed possible.
I have always had a burning desire to tell these kinds of stories, but I was convinced that only authorities own the narrative. Only authorities could define the truth. However, the opportunity to immerse myself in the diverse community at the University of Maryland exposed me to various, many different perspectives on truth. I soon realized that here I have the opportunity to speak freely.
The speech to thousands of her graduating class on Sunday drew harsh criticism, some from classmates in Maryland and from legions of social media users in China, many of whom accused her of unfairly demeaning her homeland. Even her hometown weighed in, saying in a message on Weibo that her comments about Kunming's air pollution were, quote, not related to us. We've let the story develop for a week before presenting it so we could have a variety of comments from students on campus. One of our VOA Asia interns, Sandra Yang, is also a University of Maryland student, and she spoke with Chinese student Yi Chu, who felt the comparison between the countries was not necessary.
I think some of them can be right, but I still think as a Chinese people, she shouldn't think China is too bad and think America is really good.
Chinese student Candace felt the speech was okay, but she thinks it might have been best to be worded differently.
I think there's nothing wrong with her speech, but she didn't have to mention whatever is bad in China. I don't know how the audience think about it, but as a Chinese international student, I don't think it's necessary to show your love for University of Maryland through saying something bad about China.
Disha is an American student who also found Yang Shuping's commencement speech to be good. Still, she said she could understand why people in China might be upset and mentioned to us themes that many young people in this country are very familiar with.
She brought up some points that I feel are common knowledge about China at this point, such as the lack of free speech and the high levels of air pollution. But I think what's causing a lot of the backlash that she's getting for the speech is the fact that she put America and China right next to each other and compared them. And some people could interpret the language that she used as if she was painting America in a more heroic light as compared to China.
Evan is an American student who was born in Jamaica. He says the theme of Yang Shuping's speech was about making a choice to go to another country where she felt she could have more advantages in her studies and career.
I moved from Jamaica because for the degree I wanted, it would have been hard to do it there. To be honest, there are a lot of opportunities here. So I just personally think that it's not really, what she said wasn't that bad. It wasn't that big of a deal. China can just relax, honestly, because they have other, I'm sure they have more important things to worry about.
There were more than 328,000 students from China studying at higher education institutions here in the United States during the academic year that ended in 2016. The nonprofit Institute of International Education says that's about double the number of students in the United States from India, which ranks second on its survey. On Monday, following her commencement address, Ms. Yang said that she hoped her speech would not result in any personal attacks against her. Quote, I apologize if my speech was at any points misleading, she wrote on Weibo. I sincerely hope I can be understood and forgiven by the public. You may freely comment on our Facebook page at VOA Asia or send us your thoughts in an email to voaasia@voanews.com. You're listening to VOA Asia.
News is mobile and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
This news alert from VOA Asia, India has reported its first three cases of Zika virus, including two pregnant women who delivered healthy babies. Health Ministry officials said Sunday the three patients in western Gujarat state had recovered and told the public there's no need to panic. Stay up to date throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. It's the final Monday in May, and that's the time when Americans observe Memorial Day to pay homage to the country's war dead. In recent years, more attention has been shifting to American warriors who fought in the controversial Vietnam War and their fallen comrades. VOA's Serbian service reporter Nikoleta Ilić recently caught up with one of many Americans who spent years as a prisoner of war.
Air Force Captain Guy Gruder says he volunteered for the Vietnam War to prevent communism from spreading throughout the world. He went to Vietnam in early 1967, flying 400 combat missions, and was shot down twice.
The first time I was rescued by the very brave man of the rescue, Charlie Green helicopters. The second time, we were all by ourselves in North Vietnam, and it was right close to dark. I managed to get to a patch of woods and evade capture for about 45 minutes.
The military unit that captured him took him across the rice paddies to a village where he stayed for a day. After a long, difficult trip by truck, all the POWs were brought to a staging camp in Hanoi. A week later, he and a dozen other servicemen had reached the notorious Hanoi Hilton.
That's where they had all the torture to get the interrogations for the military information.
Gura said he was in six different camps in 5 years until his release in March 1973, after North Vietnam was forced to agree to peace talks.
In December of 72, the U.S. Air Force and Navy bombed heavily military targets in the Hanoi area. It was called the Christmas bombing of 1972. In those 11 days, they dropped 40,000 tons of bomb.
Despite his ordeal as a prisoner and the unpopularity of the war back home, Gruter says the justification is evident today.
By the president of Indonesia, by the president of Thailand and Malaysia, by the president of the Philippines, that because of the United States fighting in Vietnam, they had the courage to fight the communist insurgencies in their country successfully. And they told him that because of our courage in Vietnam, there are 450 million people free today that would have been communist.
Now, many years later, Guy Gruter is a motivational speaker who lectures that we should forget, forgive, and love our enemies.
Our thanks to VOA Serbian service reporter Nikoleta Ilić for bringing us this story. You may see the video by visiting our VOA Asia Facebook page, and it's also available on the voanews.com website. Developing at this hour in Asia, authorities in Bangladesh reinstalled a Lady Justice statue near the country's Supreme Court. Its removal 2 days earlier was to appease hardliners, who said it stood in front of ground used for prayers. Removal sparked criticism and protests among liberals, cultural groups, and left-wing activists. You'll find the latest stories on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Saffron has long been one of the world's most expensive spices, at times even traded as currency. The saffron crocus is a flower that produces the spice, and it grows mostly in parts of Europe, Iran, and India. Now a U.S. company led by two young veterans who served in Afghanistan is seeking to cultivate peace. VOA's Kane Faribault tells us the company is attracting attention to this historic spice and trying to develop new markets for saffron grown in Afghanistan.
At Cafe Baba Reba on Chicago's north side, there is one key ingredient that could make or break executive chef Matt Holmes' menu.
We feature it in our paellas, which are a signature dish here at Cafe Baba Reba, as well as use it in a dessert and some other dishes as well. So it's incredibly important to have high-quality saffron.
It is a staple in cuisine throughout Asia, the Middle East, and Mediterranean. But less so in the United States, where saffron, while a $60 million market, is not well known. But Rumi Spice, Holmes' saffron supplier, is hoping to change that.
We're named after Jalaluddin Rumi. He's a 13th century poet and philosopher who was born in present-day Afghanistan and a Sufi mystic. And one of his most famous sayings is, "Where there is ruin, there is hope for treasure."
Kimberly Jung and Keith Alanis are two of the founders of Rumi Spice. Both are U.S. military veterans who served in Afghanistan and returned with more than just combat experience.
I was never able to resolve just going to Afghanistan and spending time leaving and never thinking about the place again, especially when you form relationships with people who live there and you understand them, you know their families,
Those relationships formed the core of the business strategy for Rumi Spice. Increasing demand for saffron in the U.S., produced by Afghan farmers they met in Herat province. Abdullah Faiz is the chancellor of Herat University, which is working with Purdue University in Indiana to develop a special program with Afghan saffron farmers and new markets for them in mind.
The Department of Food Technology will teach and give training for the farmers to produce the saffron with a hygiene quality. And in this case, that our farmers will be able in the future to produce that saffron without that pathogens.
The good thing about Rumi is they have a premium product that's fantastic to use, and you're kind of doing double duty with the program that they have with helping farmers in Afghanistan and helping women and being a positive influence besides just selling a product. So you really get the best of both worlds.
Investors are taking note. Rumi Spice attracted a $250,000 investment commitment from entrepreneur Mark Cuban on the TV show Shark Tank, signaling his faith in Rumi Spice and the potential for saffron grown in Afghanistan. Kane Fairbaugh, VOA News, Chicago, Illinois.
There are an estimated 39 million blind people in the world. Another 200 million people, like Julissa Marquez, are visually impaired. She has less than 10% of her vision because of a knife attack. VOA's Kevin Enix reports some new technology has literally opened her eyes.
When you can barely see, seeing anything is a gift.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Like, it really was amazing. I got to see my sister's face nice and clear from when this first happened. I finally got to see my doctor. You know, like, how awesome he looks, you know?
These are eSight glasses, new technology that works by pouring huge amounts of visual information into what little visual capability legally blind people possess.
The device is almost bombarding the eyes with so much information to send to the brain through the eye that it can present them with a picture that is pretty much what you would see or I would see. It is, you know, a true wearable breakthrough for those who are living with vision loss.
But it does take some getting used to.
I started off little by little because it was a little too much at first for my eyes. I had to get used to it. And from there, I started doing the watching of the TV, looking out the window, and like just going outside, sitting on the bench, you know, like just looking around, trying to get used to the camera to focus. And then, you know, little by little, starting to walk, like not like just short distance, because that I haven't mastered yet.
Marquez can see without the eSight glasses, but not much, according to her doctor.
And her ocular trauma score only gave her about a 3% chance of having useful vision. We've definitely surpassed that in terms of her prognosis, not only from the surgery that we did, but also using technology to actually get her to see better. So it's the surgical techniques, the advancements in the surgical techniques that we have today, in addition to the technology that she's using with these electronic glasses to give her better functioning. And I just see her future even brighter and brighter.
The glasses are not cheap. Each pair costs nearly $10,000. But for Julissa Marquez, who can now see her son, they are worth every penny.
He actually has so much facial hair now. He has to go to the barbershop, you know, to get cleaned up. But no, he's changing. He's gotten so tall. He's a lot taller than me now. Yeah, so I get to see my son. You know, like, I'm going to see him graduate. I'm going to, you know, get to see my grandchildren, like, that's something huge for me because I love my child. He's my life. He's my world. He's everything.
Kevin Enix, VOA News, Washington.
And we'd like to say a special thank you to all of our friends in Myanmar who see us, or at least see our VOA Burmese Facebook page and are able to listen to VOA Asia on that page. Thank you so much for joining us. You can also check out our Facebook page at VOA Asia. Lots of good stuff on there each and every day. By the way, I'm on Twitter at VOA Stevenson. You can follow me there as well. We'd like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer Aydin Utku, managing editor Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, including David Bird and Ali Ogden. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a great day.